Tonight, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, about how to find peace. How to find peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And I'm gonna try to do like that latest movie star heard about. She got married and kept her husband 2 weeks and dumped him. And so I'm gonna be short and sweet. Amen. Y'all didn't even get that. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. My goodness, what a passage of scripture. Amen. You know, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. I was born in 1954. I know I don't look like it, but I was. And, what? Would you say? I never would have thought it. Like Holroyd, don't look a day over 69. Amen. When I grew up, everybody talked about peace. Peace, peace, peace. You know, and then the Vietnam War was raging and we all talked about peace and we had peace signs and peace symbols and peace this and peace that. And, but I remember going down to Kershaw when I was about 16 or 17. I had a friend, had a cousin down there. I'd never been to Kershaw. It's the city of Kershaw. And went down there. And back then, everybody went cruising. And if you don't know what cruising is, one car goes this way, the other one goes that way. And 5 minutes later, it's the opposite. Okay. That one's going this way and that one's going that way. Just round and round. And we was down there cruising. And, we ended up in this convertible with these girls, you know, and we cruising all through town. The town ain't very big. You can drive from here to stoplight and back. That's the whole town, you know. And, we'd be riding around, you know, and everywhere we were in Lancaster and everything, you know, everybody, you know, you was cool. But in Kershaw, they'd go. And I said, whoa, whoa. And finally I asked one of those girls, I said, why does everybody shake their fist at me when I give them the peace sign? She said, power to the people. Power to the people. They done seen that old movie, Billy Jack. And they want to destroy the world, you know, power to the people. But we did. Everywhere you went, people's talking about peace and peace and peace. And the spirit of the age that we live in is the spirit of the Antichrist. And the book of Revelation teaches that. We live in the last days in the spirit of the Antichrist. When he comes riding that white horse after, at the beginning of the tribulation, after the rapture, there's one coming on a white horse. He's got a bow, but he has no arrow. And he comes preaching peace, peace. Well, that's a false peace. That's a big word, pseudo peace. It's not real. And he's going to come doing that. Well, he does that now. And a lot of people, most everybody at one time in your life, as you get older, you'll seek peace. You want peace, you know. I hate drama. I hate turmoil. I the older I get, the worse I like it. Amen. Now, when you was younger, you'd start a fight, you know, but nowadays you avoid it. And we want peace, and we want peace of mind, we want peace of heart, but the thing we need most of is peace in our spirit. We need peace in our spirit. There's a lot of fake peace. There's a lot of substitutes which replace peace, and those usually end up in loss of peace, drugs, alcohol, things like that. And so a person, a place, or a thing, listen to this, will only give you peace temporarily. Until the good wears out. And you know that, well as I do. How many young couples rushed into marriage, you know, because they just had so much peace, this is gonna last forever and this is true love. And 6 months later, the husband's into jail and the wife's down there at the hospital or something, you know. It was a false peace. It was fake. It wasn't real. Amen. It was made of the flesh instead of the spirit. And we get disappointed when we do that. I've known people to move 3 or 4 times looking for that place to live and hoping to find peace in a place. There's no such place. I've known people to buy stuff and things and hoping those things would give them that peace that they've been looking for. And it's a short-lived peace. So the only way to find true, lasting peace, eternal peace, is through the Word of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're no longer at enmity with God. We're no longer enemies of God, but now we have peace with God because of what God gives us, peace between our relationship between Him and us. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of the peace. Now, most of you in here claim to be saved, and you know what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news that Jesus saved, the good news that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave. And he says, now, everywhere you go, put that on your feet. Take that with you. Carry that, the gospel of peace. Because if we'll do that, then peace goes with us, you know. Yes, and as you get closer to God, you'll find fewer and fewer people individually that will assault you. Now, they will in groups. They will in crowds. I mean, we did too. But whenever you living right and you're trying to be right and you're trying to be at peace with people and at peace with God, most of the time people will be at peace with you if you carry the gospel with you and you tell the good news that Jesus saved and he gave you peace of mind and peace of heart. And then Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm getting somewhere, so I'm kind of going in a hurry till I get there. Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll turn over there, I want to show you something else. Look at verse 13, Ephesians 2:13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh, that's nigh to God, by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, that's us and God, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, that was sin, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that's the enemy making you an enemy and God an enemy, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now, that's the gospel of peace, and it happens by receiving the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
And so you hear the gospel of peace, it gives you peace, and you receive it, and then somebody points out that that good news is about Jesus Christ, and you receive him as your Savior, and that tears down the wall between you and God, which is called sin, which puts you at enmity with God. Another way to say that is makes you and God enemies. And then that gives you peace of mind, peace of heart, and peace with God. So you got to receive the Prince of Peace to have everlasting peace. And then I thought about this, Philippians chapter 4, and this is where I'm really going to start. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, he says this. And by the way, I preached this morning, when I preached on hell this morning, you would think that would cause unrest, but if people receive the word of God, even about hell, it causes peace. Because you realize you're a sinner, you're going to hell, and you look to the Savior, and he gives you the peace to know that if you died, you'd go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, some of you already know these verses. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Did you know that if you walk in the way of God, if you obey God, if you obey his word, and you want to get close to God, and you avoid sin, and you draw nigh to God, you'll walk with the God of peace.
Amen.
You'll walk with him. Now, before we walked against him, every day was a struggle. Ain't that right, Clinton? Every day was a struggle until we started walking with him. And did you know it's easier to walk with God than to war with God?
Yes.
Amen. Everybody says, well, you Christians, y'all just got such a hard life. You can't smoke. You can't drink. You can't cuss. You can't go nightclubbing. You just got so hard. I don't see how you do it.
Yeah.
And then I say, well, that's funny. Isaiah says the way of the transgressor is hard. I said, our old life was what was hard. This is easy.
Yeah.
I mean, walking in these things, he names in verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if any praise, think on these things, and these things which you both have learned and received. Now, that's the peaceful life.
Yes, sir.
The problem with most people is they're thinking on the opposites of that. And they're having a war in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And having a war in their heart and their spirit. Because, look here, you can't think on ugly, vile, mean, wicked things all the time and be at peace in yourself. You can't do that. Matter of fact, you're going to be in turmoil if that's the way you think. If you look at everybody and think they're against you and what are they going to do to me, you don't have no peace. You don't have no peace. You know, the Bible says that we'll not worry what man can do to us. Amen?
Amen.
And since I've been saved, I've been at peace with that. Now, before I was saved, I grew up in a bad place and there's a lot of people would hurt you and I got hurt sometimes if I couldn't outrun them. I ain't never been a good fighter. I've always been a good runner. And, amen. I'm still here and they ain't. And, look, where I grew up, it was hard. And people were out to hurt you. I knew some people would hurt you and laugh while they was doing it. Yeah. And enjoyed it. Enjoyed it. And bragged about hurting people. And I lived, everybody looked at it, I thought, well, what are they going to do? Are they going to do something to me? Are they going to hurt me? Are they going to, and turmoil all the time. And then even when people wanted to be, they said they wanted to be your friends, you'd say, well, I can't trust these people. What do these people want out of me? There's no peace. And when you got with that crowd that they all said they were friends and they really wasn't because they'd turn on each other in a minute. You had no peace. But then Jesus found me and he saved me and he gave me a new heart, a new mind, and a new spirit. And I look at people different now.
Amen.
And I don't fear them.
Amen.
Since I've been saved, I fear no man.
Amen.
Seriously. I fear God, but I fear no man. And when you get peace in your heart, you can be that way.
Amen.
I worry about people that run around here thinking everybody's trying to hurt them. You know, I've been, like I said this morning, I've been preaching for 37 years. Ain't nobody ever beat me up for preaching.
Right.
Nobody's ever beat me up for sharing the gospel with them. Matter of fact, I've been in, you ask Billy Buck, right? He's not here tonight, but I've been in neighborhoods nobody else wouldn't go in and knock on doors and talk to people. And they respected me because I had the peace of God that they were looking for.
Right.
I've even had people tell me, say, preacher, I know you want what's best for me. Lost people. And so when you get the peace of God and you walk with God and you think right, you'll have peace. There won't be turmoil anymore. Sometimes you'll be too. Sometimes I say I'm gullible and I am. And I've been deceived and I've been tricked and I've been hurt over. But I'm not going to quit walking in peace just because everybody else is not doing it. Amen. I've had church members hurt me. I've had church members turn on me. And me the whole time thinking they wanted what was best for me.
Amen.
Until the last minute. Didn't even know. I'm always the last one to know. And sometimes it happened, I didn't even know it. Everybody else knew it and I didn't. Because I just don't see it that way anymore. And so, if we're going to have perfect peace, if we're going to have the peace of God and real peace, we're going to have to walk with the God of peace.
Amen.
Amen. People come up to me wanting the gospel. I say, I don't want to hear that. I don't hear that. Number one, it ain't none of my business. Number two, I'm getting secondhand information.
Amen.
Amen.
They just tried to kick a president out over second and third hand information.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. My goodness, don't tell me this stuff. It makes me mad to hear it. Not at the person you're talking about, but it's you for telling me.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And by the way, if they're telling me that about you, what are they telling you about me?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Those people don't have any peace. I got peace. I can go to bed. I can die and say I've done the best I could do. Thank God I tried to walk in peace.
Amen.
I've heard preachers say, and brag on. I'm not that kind of preacher. I want peace. I've heard them say, well, we had a backdoor revival. Bless God. I run them all off. Not me. I don't want you to go. Stay. If you go, I just got my wife and daughter to preach to, and they'll probably get mad and leave me too. Listen, don't leave. I don't want you to leave. And I tell people, I can't help you if you leave. And that's my job, to help people. So number one, if we're going to have that kind of peace, after we receive the gospel of peace and we receive the Savior that brings the peace, then we're going to have to walk with the God of peace. Now, don't think he's just going to interrupt your day tomorrow. You're going to have to think about this and do it consciously and avoid evil and shun evil. You have to do it. And then, if you will, look at Romans 14:19. Romans 14:19. You ain't mad at me, are you? You still got peace? Hope you got it when you leave. There's people left here this morning that didn't have it. Romans, not everybody, but some, they should have come forward and got it settled.
Yeah, amen.
Romans 14, they're not going to sleep good this week. They're not going to work good. They're not going to have a good time at school. And they're going to blame it on their wife or husband and their kids. Romans 14:19, look at it with me if you will. In verse 19, he said, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify one another. Devin, if you're gonna preach during my, if you're gonna preach during my preaching, we ain't gonna be at peace. Listen, we have to on purpose. This nature right here don't want to do what I'm talking about. Well, I'll give them a piece of my mind. Well, most of people ain't got none to share. They shouldn't have. They ain't got much. Listen, but verse 19, he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. I mean, on purpose, we got to decide, how am I going to keep this relationship peaceful between me and this guy, me and this gal, me and my church, me and my boss man? We got to think about these things. And then he said, follow after them. That means once you see that, then you got to go that way. It ain't coming to you. You got to go to it.
Amen.
Amen. Because our nature doesn't want, our nature's prideful.
You're right.
And selfish and self-centered. And that's why we have to teach our children. Listen, we got to teach our children not to be prideful and self-centered and selfish, because that's our nature. And because if we live that way, there's not going to be any peace.
Come on now.
Amen. The Bible says it's better to dwell on the, in the corner of a housetop than in the house with a brawling woman. Just put Nancy Pelosi's picture. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Listen. I thought about her husband the other day. I said, Lord, help him. But look, we got to walk in peace. We got to walk with God, the God of peace. We got to follow after peace. And then if we'll do that, look at verse 19 again. And things wherewith one may edify another. You know, it ain't my job straighten you out. Preacher Moore used to pastor Grace Baptist Church. I was under him a while. And he had this thing up in the vestibule. And I think it went like this. My wife can probably help me. It said, I'm not here to get you. I'm not here to keep you. I'm here to help you. And he said, if I can't help you, I've failed. And y'all look at the preacher. Well, he's just preaching. I'm not here to get you. I'm here to build you up. And we're supposed to build one another up.
Amen.
And how can we build each other up if we're not at peace with one another? Amen. You go in the average Baptist church, And it's like a war of the worlds in there. You got this little crowd over here. They're mad at those back there because something grandma did, and they don't even remember what it was. You got this crowd over here. They're mad at that crowd over there because they got their name on something in memory of. And ain't nobody in their family got a plaque says in memory of, you know. You got this crowd over here. They're mad at that crowd over there because they saw the other day that that guy got to go out to eat with the preacher. He ain't never been invited to eat with the preacher. I mean, it's a battle. It's just a battle. And they're not edifying one another. They're tearing each other down. That's what they're doing. Amen. I mean, did you know that as Christians, if we live peaceably, we'll find ourselves at the end of the line?
Amen.
It's called humility. You find yourself at the end of the line. Now, I'll tell you how you can tell the ones who read the Bible and the ones that don't. Have dinner on the grounds or something. You better not get in the way of some people. You'll get run over between them and a chicken leg. You'll get killed, man. I'm telling you. This lady, used to come to my church, and she had a husband, never would come. He never would come. And I went and see him. He said he wasn't interested, wouldn't even let me pray in his house. And every time we'd have dinner on the ground or something, she would take a big old to-go plate, just piled up, you know how they'll do, about that high. And she's going out the door, barely can carry that thing. I said, where in the world are you going with all that? She said, I'm taking it to my husband. I know I shouldn't have said it, but I didn't have the filter on. And I said, I wouldn't take him a stinking thing if he wouldn't come down here and get it. He don't deserve it. And you know that woman got mad at me? She got mad at me. I should have kept my mouth shut and let the lost man eat it and do whatever he wanted to and just kept my mouth shut. But you see, if we're going to have peace, we're going to have peace with the purpose of edifying each other. And sometimes you just gotta go. That's, I know for a New York Yankee, that's real hard. What? Get out of the way! Move that car! Amen. What you laugh about? You from Detroit. Amen. Amen. At least in the South, we can hate you quietly. Amen. But we shouldn't hate you at all. We're to edify one another. And Brother Ralph, me and you fussing, fighting all the time, we ain't edifying each other.
Right.
Amen. You kids, listen to me. You talking back to your mama and your daddy all the time, or you talking back to your teachers all the time, your Sunday school teacher. You're not building anybody up. You're tearing people down. And that's going to come back on you because you're not going to have peace either.
Amen.
You couldn't pay me to be a public school teacher now. Becky over here works with troubled kids at a public school. My wife said she retired and went back to work for 5 hours a day. And I guess they call that semi-retirement. I'd be in jail. I'd be in jail. Some little 13-year-old come up to me, start cussing me. Oh, my goodness. I don't even like them to tell me no. I tell my grandkids, I said, my children didn't tell me no.
Yeah.
And here's my grandkids. What can I do? They're my grandkids. Amen. You got that. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. But if we're going to have a effective ministry, and if we're going to have a church that honors God and helps people, we're going to have to live at peace with one another. Now, I know I'm not nearly dumb as I look. I know everybody in here does not like everything that I do and say. I'm waiting for an amen. Scared, ain't you? But you don't have to agree with everything I say. Did you know I can love you and you disagree with me?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them I disagree with. But I love them anyway. Amen. Amen. But I want to be at peace. I want to be at peace. I don't want turmoil in my house. I don't want turmoil in my church. I don't want turmoil in my personal life. I want peace. Now, I live for the devil long enough where there was no peace.
Oh, yeah.
But if you ever get a taste of true peace of God,
right,
you'll get rid of all that other stuff.
Amen.
And if there's something in your life that causes you not to have peace between you and your fellow believers, you'll get rid of it. I hadn't been saved long. I was working at the industrial cotton mill, and I was working on one of those dye ranges. The yarn was running out, you know, blue. That's where you got your denim from. And I was sitting there, and I was reading a Bible that somebody had left on the job years before. Nobody ever read it. And I'm sitting there reading it. And this fellow comes up, and he sits down beside me. He says, "What are you reading?" I said, "The Bible." He said, "Why are you reading that?" I said, "I got saved." Well, in the meantime, I'm smoking L&M. I'm reading the Bible. Getting ashes off. He looked at me, he said, "You can't talk to me about the Bible." I said, "Why not?" He said, "You smoke. You're going to hell." Now, he grew up in Church of God. Now, I knew I wasn't going to hell. I just got saved. I had the peace of God. And by the way, the L&M tasted better after I got saved than it did before I got saved. Everything was due. And so what I did, I said, "Okay, then I'll quit smoking." I got convicted. I got convicted. And it took me 2 weeks to quit smoking. I just cut back, cut back, cut back, cut back, cut back, pray between everyone. In 2 weeks, I was smoking one cigarette that night, and I said, "If I can do one, I can do none." Amen. For a year after that, I could have smoked one that long every time I ate. But I didn't. Why? Because I wanted to talk to him.
Amen.
I wanted peace with him. Now, he really didn't want peace with me. I could have quit breathing. He wouldn't have listened to me. But the Holy Spirit used that to convict me to quit smoking. And if you want to have peace with the brethren, you want to edify other people, you'll do whatever it takes. If it's right, if it's holy and it's pure and it's just, you'll do whatever it takes to edify other people. I think the problem is a lot of people don't know peace themselves, so they don't know that they can help other people have the peace because they don't have it themselves. Come on. I mean, if you go to church on Sunday and get out there and cuss everybody out during the week, you don't have the peace I got.
That's right. Amen.
You got the peace I got. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, so we walk with God of peace. We're following the things that make peace. And then look at Romans chapter 8, verse 46, if you would, 4 through 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 4 through 6. And I'm just about through. I'm not going to keep you late tonight like I did today. Of course, there's no way I could have preached a sermon on hell and cut it short. Romans 8, look at verse 4. He says, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." This thing right here. "But they that are after the Spirit," that's capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, "the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded," that's doing things for the flesh, carnal, "is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and
peace.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." You see that? So now, if I'm going to live peaceably, I'm going to have to live spiritually. I cannot live carnally.
Amen.
Now, this new type Christian, they got on television and down here at the Elevation and Levitation and Devilation, every kind of relation they got, they don't have the right relation with Jesus Christ. They're carnal. They're worldly. They mind the things of the world. Their music's worldly. Their dress is worldly. Their behavior's worldly. Their appetites are worldly. I had a man the other day tell me that his grandson got him to go to Elevation. And I don't mind calling names, by the way, in case you hadn't noticed. And I think we're supposed to. And he said he went in, first thing they did was give him earplugs. He looked at him, he said, "Well, why would I be using earplugs? This must be a powerful preacher." He said, "Well, it didn't take me about 2 or 3 minutes. I found out it didn't have nothing to do with preaching. It was all about the show." He said, they want me to stick those things in my ears. He said, after about a minute or two of that banging and hollering and screaming and the flashing lights and rolling smoke, he said, I felt like I was back down at the rock concert, and I got up and walked out.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And then those people run out here in the world, and they wonder why we're so fanatical. I'll tell you why. Up against spiritual, carnal and spiritual, the carnal man looks at the spiritual man and says, you're a fanatic. But the spiritual man says, you call it whatever you want to, but I got the peace of God because I walk with God.
Amen.
Amen. I walk with God. You know, it used to be everywhere you went, somebody worked there that was right with God. And everybody in there knew, if you ever want somebody to pray for you, that's the guy or the gal to go see. Y'all remember those days? That's almost impossible to find now.
Amen.
And everybody made fun of him or her until they wanted somebody to pray for them. You know why? That carnal person with no peace realized by watching that spiritual person who had peace that they had a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You could see it. I could feel it. I get around him, I could feel it. It scared the devil out of me. Those people did, that had the peace of God. I had no peace. Nobody I knew had, the monkeys didn't have no peace. The beetles didn't have no peace. All those other bugs that sing, they had no peace.
Amen, it's true.
I saw a picture of the Rolling Stones. They're about to do their 200th world tour. And he's standing up there like this, like he used to when he was 16, you know. His legs about that big round, his arms about that big round, he's old. And I looked at him, I said, somebody needs to tell that old man to sit down.
Yeah.
Boy, he hurts his self.
Yeah.
You know what they're doing? They got more money than they'll ever spend. They'll tell you that. They got more money. They don't have to do this. They still seeking peace. You see, the happiest times they've ever had in their life is when somebody was applauding for them.
That's right.
Made them feel like they were somebody. But they still have to go to that room at night and lay down with no peace.
Amen.
Wow.
Now, Rolling Stones used to have a doctor flu, went with them everywhere they went, and he'd shoot them up with heroin, and he'd keep it enough so they wouldn't overdose. That's how they lived this long. Several of them had jet airplanes on the inside. It was black and had the black lights and the strobe lights and acid and everything else. And they had doctors that would keep them alive. Now you tell me you want my children to be like that?
Yeah.
You want my grandchildren to be like that? And by the way, they're still doing that. They're still doing that. So we have to mind the things of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, and I'm through. I would pick on your favorite singing group, but I don't know who they are. You young people, y'all got some that probably are wickeder than anything I ever knew. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. There it is, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now those are the people that have no peace. I want to thank God. I've never been the smartest man on the block. But I want to thank God. There's one thing I do know. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I cannot explain it. I can't tell you how it feels. But I got it. And I feel it. And even in my worst days, it's there. I've got the peace of God. And you know, if I thought I was a Christian, I didn't have that, I try to find out what's wrong with me. I wouldn't blame it on my wife. I wouldn't blame it on my children. I'd look at me. You know, if you don't have the peace of God, it's your fault.
Amen.
It's your fault. And you ought to just quit blaming everybody else and confess your sins. It's sin. There's something in there that is causing you not to have peace with God, and it's a sin, whether it's unbelief or doubt or some physical sin, some habit, some hobby, or some person in your life. But you're the only one can fix that.
That's right.
And you can sit around and do the all day long. And you can read all those astrological books and all that junk. You can read all that stuff. You can watch Oprah. And they meant to call her Oprah, but they misspelled her name. You can watch Oprah all you want to. But you're not going to have the peace of God until you get the sin problem fixed.
Amen.
Christian or not.
Amen.
The number one, and by the way, do you know it's so easy to point out somebody else's? That's the way that old Pharisee did when he went to the temple. He said, Lord, I'm glad I ain't like this publican. We can do that, but then your peace will go because now you're judging other people by your standards instead of his, and you're going to lose your peace. You know what you need to do? Leave everybody alone. You live for God. You walk in the Spirit. You deny the flesh. You love Jesus. You love people. You witness to people. You walk right, talk right, look right. And then you know what? Everybody else that doesn't, you say, help them, Lord. I used to be like that right there.
Amen.
Because not everybody is where you are in spirituality. Well, that's my sermon. That's the Bible. What you gonna do with it? Let's stand, Father.